All right, we're Genesis chapter 19. This is a sad chapter. Genesis chapter 19 is the end of a nation. You're looking at God's judgment on a nation, and it's a small nation, all right, Sodom, Gomorrah, and a confederacy of five cities, but they represented a nation that had gone too far. So let's pray. Father, I pray that you teach us some things. If we do not learn the lessons of history, we are destined to repeat them. And Lord, you wrote us a lot of history in the Bible, not just so that we could see events and places and people, but so we could learn some things. And so teach us, put the fear of God in us. Lord, I pray for open ears to these warnings, Lord, and help us to see what's going on today is the same, and that we're right on the edge of your judgment if we're not already in your judgment. So please bless our learning today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we also need to go to 2 Peter chapter 2. So let's see, Nathan, if you'll read 2 Peter 2, 6 to 8.
And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and deliver just Lot, vexed with a filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds.
Wow. There's a lot in that portion. But notice, Peter refers to it as if it really happened. He records it not as a parable, but as something that really happened. And what's funny is he calls a Gentile, Lot, a righteous man. Which is, see, he wasn't a Jew. He wasn't a descendant of Abraham. And yet he was still a righteous man. So there's a lot in that portion of Scripture, but the main one meaning, look at that, God reduced Sodom to ashes. What a way to talk. All right, so back to Genesis chapter 19. What was Sodom like before the judgment? Barry, look at chapter 13 and verse 10.
And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar.
Alright, so like a garden, maybe even when it talks about the garden of the Lord, I think that they're referring to the Garden of Eden. They're only 400 and some odd years after the flood, and the Garden of Eden was there until the flood. So, it's like a garden, it's like Egypt. It was a plain, a flat and fertile land for both crops and cattle. Sodom itself means burning. Isn't that a unique thing? Now, I don't think when they called it Sodom that they meant it to mean burning. I think after it was burnt to the ground, the name meaning changed. So Sodom means burning. Gomorrah means submersion or burial, like in baptism of fire. So Gomorrah means burial. D, Sodom became the word for such a horrific sin as sodomy is. Eric, if you'll read Deuteronomy 23:17.
There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel.
Wow, Sodom is gone by Deuteronomy. But the act goes on. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when they refer to somebody and a homosexual act, they still refer to it as a sodomite, as something that was going on and was prevalent in a city that was destroyed. That's why the world likes to change terms, doesn't it? Instead of calling somebody an alcoholic, they'll call them an addict. And they'll say, I don't know, instead of murder, they'll call it an abortion, and they'll reword things, and they'll say it's a medical treatment. And what'd you say?
Homosexual, gay.
homosexual is called gay.
Thieves, kleptomania.
Yeah, right. You heard about the? I tried to explain a pun to a kleptomaniac one time, but he couldn't get it because he kept taking things literally. He doesn't.
I got it. I got it off the second read.
Look also, Eric, at 29:23, because did you know scriptures have nothing good to say about this place? There's some things that God says about Egypt that are good, but when he refers to Sodom, nothing is good. Deuteronomy 29:23.
And that the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt and burning, that it's not sown, nor beareth, nor any grass groweth therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboim, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and in his wrath.
So whenever God refers to that place, he talks about the time when he overthrew it. And I list about 12 or 13 times there in Scripture. Do you have chapter 19 there, Eric? The notes.
Yes.
Okay, good. All right, so that's just a list. We don't have time to look through all of them. But there's tons and tons of time God refers to Sodom. Lesson. Lot in the gate. Your answer is the gate. Look at Genesis chapter 19 and verse 1. Ediberto, if you'll read verse 1, please.
And there came two angels to Sodom at Eden, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot seeing them rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground.
All right. Now, Lot not only is in the city of Sodom, he's in the gate. And the gate was the place of all your financial decisions. It is the place of court decisions. He's in a place of leadership in the city. He's been made a part of the leadership of such a wicked city. That's why Christians have to be careful about where you compromise and what you allow yourself to get involved with. Politics is a dirty business. And Christians, especially pastors, should not get involved in politics. That doesn't mean we don't stand up and say such and such is right or such and such is wrong, and be able to point out problems for politicians to hear and be able to confront politicians. But we shouldn't just buddy-buddy with politicians and become part of the leadership like politicians. God calls men of God churches to be separate individuals. We need godly leaders. But make sure you're not the leader over filth and that you join in with them and you never try to change things and try to rebuke things. So Lot becomes part of the leadership. He had become a counselor, probably a judge in the city of Sodom. He had become a very important person. He was the first person that knew that these two men met. Now, Lot has some visitors. There were two angels. These had been with the angel Lord back in Abraham. How many angels appeared to Abraham when he was, 100 miles away, wherever he was, how far away from Sodom? How many are? I got my finger up here. There were three.
But isn't one of them the God?
And one of them was Jehovah. But the other two took off and went to Sodom. So here they now show up. I don't know how far they, I guess it's 30 miles. They traveled about 30 miles east to Sodom. And the purpose is to get Lot and his family out of Sodom before God destroys it and the other four cities. And Lot greets them like they were normal men. And he wanted to treat them well. And he wanted to treat them well because they're prospective customers. Isn't a business, isn't it the one most wonderful place to go into when they don't know you? Or when you look like you got money? As soon as you go into a business, you go, "Hi, welcome, how are you? Can I help you?" They're so sweet, aren't they? Because they want to make money off of you. They want you to feel like spending money there. And that's exactly how Lot is treating these two visitors. Number C, look at verses 2, 3, and 4 in Gozi.
And he said, "Behold now, my Lord, turn in, I pray thee, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early, and go on your way. And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night."
Wow.
Three. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in into him, and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and did bake unleavable bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house around, both old and young, all the people from every quarter.
Wow. You know, modern television, movies, entertainment have ruined us so that we can't, unless we've trained ourselves, we can't picture what we're reading. But when you do begin to picture what's going on, it hits you like a train. It hits you. What is going on here in this city? Look at what Lot worries about. He's actually pressing them. They're standing there, and he's putting his arm around. He says, "You got to come inside." And they're like, "No, no, no. We'll stay out tonight." Now they know what they're doing. They know what's happening and what's coming up. But Lot is doesn't want to tell them, "You're going to get raped if you're left out here. This is a wicked city." It's funny. What we know doesn't affect us very often. We know we may be in a sinful situation. And we may be able to warn others, but we won't take the heat ourselves. You see Lot there? He's worried about others, but he's not worried about his family. He's not worried about himself being in that city, but he's worried about these two people. It's funny what we know, but we don't live by.
Did he not know the rangers? Huh?
The who?
Did he not know the rangers?
I don't think so.
He bowed down before them.
Oh, no, no, that's normal. That is a Eastern and Oriental custom. You need to go to the Philippines and Japan and China, and you meet somebody, and what does everybody do when they meet you? Hello. Oh,
he never does it.
I know, because he's ruined. He's been around Europeans all his life. He's ruined.
I know.
What
did he say?
He's from Sunday.
Yeah, he's
I'm not very close to him.
That's right, he's an Arab.
He doesn't do it to me.
You never bowed down
to me. You want it. Okay, guys, get back to the book. So he actually forces them to come under his protection. And they felt like staying outside that night. Now, you know, in some cities, you'd be safe to just, I'll sleep out here or lay down there. But not in Sodom. Lot knows this. He gets them indoors, hopefully before anyone else knows that they've come. So he's kind of hurried so that nobody else sees that these visitors have come. He feeds them. He thinks everybody's going to be fine. And let me just say this. Notice what kind of bread did he make? He made unleavened bread, not because they were angels. He made unleavened bread because normally you make bread for the next morning. So you let it rise all night, and then in the morning you cook it. But it's 11 o'clock at night, whatever time it is. And so he quickly, his wife doesn't fix it, by the way. He's fixing it. So he makes quick bread, is what unleavened bread was. Bread that didn't rise, so that he could eat that night instead of waiting for the morning for the bread to rise. Yes, sir?
The significance is his wife didn't make bread.
The significance is that his wife loved the culture. She loved Sodom, and she was not a servant. She had no servant's heart. And there was just something about the men in Lot and Abraham and Lot's family. I don't know that Sarah was lazy, and I can't really. I'm just getting the idea that when Lot's wife came out of Sodom, it didn't matter whether her husband was going. It didn't matter that angels, they found out that they're angels, were warning them. She loved Sodom. And I think, and it says in Ezekiel that the attitude of Sodom was pride and laziness and wealth, and she didn't lift a finger. I think she had servants. And Lot, because everybody else is in bed, Lot does all this. And it's just, listen, if you got a night visitor, it'd be a shame that the woman stays up in bed watching TV while the husband's running around trying to fix the dinner. It just is a shame. So, yes, sir?
Sodom and Gomorrah become wealthy, the people is lazy.
How does he become wealthy? Mm-hmm. Sometimes...
Well, lazy people still have to work.
Well, lazy people sometimes are smart. Mm-hmm. Okay, the Bible says a slothful man is wiser than seven men that can render a reason. Mm-hmm. Because in order for them to survive, they've got to think so that they can relax. Mm-hmm. So, now, that may be true, but my original thought is this. Sodom is in a place where everything just grows. And so they don't have to work very hard to sell and make lots of money. So they're lazy because things are, just like here in Ireland, when things were going so well, you had so many people so wealthy, they could have people working for them, it didn't affect them. And that's what was going on in Sodom. They just were so prosperous. And that's a danger. Prosperity can ruin most of us. We don't have the character to keep working when we make a lot of money.
So does it say when God goes away?
It doesn't say. All right. Some people imagine that he got her when he and Abraham were in Egypt, that Lot's wife could have been Egyptian. I don't agree. I think that he had her coming out of Ur of the Chaldees. Every time Abraham, when he gets ready to get married, when he gets ready to have his son married off, he says, do not take a wife from here, go back home to Ur. All right? And he knows, and I think even the culture before he followed the Lord was, you get married. And I got a lot of thoughts in my mind. Let me say this. When we find Lot here in this chapter, he already has grown children. They're already married. So they're at least 20, 25 years old. And at this point, Lot's only been with Abraham how many years? 15, 16 years? So he had a wife back from Ur. That's where he got it. He didn't get it from Sodom. So his worst nightmare begins. Look at chapter 4 through, read verse 4 again, all the way to 9, John.
But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters, which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. Said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came into sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door.
How do you comment on such scriptures? Most people see this stuff on television every night. Most people read stories and books from school like this every week. But when it's in the Bible, we got to take it very serious. The sins of this city permeated how much of the city? It says from every quarter. You know, in Cork, there's the wealthy areas, there's the there's the troublemakers, there's the people that don't have any problem. There's the Inishmore, there's the Castle Park, and then there's Westcourt Heights, you know. And that's how we see culture. But in Sodom, every quarter, every area of the city was saturated with this sin. And it was the sin of homosexuality. And notice it says young and old. It had been going on a long time, and it was now passed on to the children. I read one time somebody who had a problem with Genesis 19 saying, how could God judge a city with children in it? Children had been defiled. It's just unimaginable. You think innocent children, their innocence was gone. We have little idea just how much abuse there is in the past and especially today of people on little children, sexual abuse. And yet here in this city was everywhere. So, number A, mainly this is men with men. It doesn't talk about lesbianism or anything like that. What's funny is he has two daughters here and they've never known a guy. Okay, now either these two daughters are lesbian or all the guys are homosexual. Now I think in that culture, women were worse than dogs. I think, like in Islam, the women were only for having children, not for sex, not for pleasure, not for anything. You had to have children through a woman and then you had pleasure with a guy, which is what Islam has. Islam has such an attitude of, I hate to talk like this, but you have sex with a woman to get her pregnant, get a child, but you have men with men for pleasure, and that is a byproduct of Islam, and it is worldwide in homosexuality. It is so grieving to even have to accept and admit.
But Islam against homosexuality.
on its tenets, but in its what's funny is just like Catholicism. So Catholicism is so against sex, and yet it goes on under the current so much. And really, the lives of Islamic people are so filthy. Well, the lives of Catholics and Protestants, I mean, Europeans is filthy, wicked, nonstop. But Islam is filthy, especially in the home. Incest is so rampant. It is unbelievable. By numbers, by people. Now, people have come out of, now when I say Islam, I mean Saudi Arabia Islam. Mm. Not Islam maybe here, because here they can't get away with it. And here, they have a lot of other opportunities. But in back home, in Iraq, in Iran, it's your sister that's at risk. And it's really, it's defiling just to think about. So the Bible says that Adam knew Eve, his wife. That K-E-N-E-W, if I get my right words right, is a wonderful word. Isn't that a wonderful word? You can read Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, and Adam knew Eve, his wife. You can read that to a five-year-old. It doesn't ruin them at all. If you read a new Bible, it says, and Adam had sex with his wife, with Eve. You gotta explain, what's sex, Daddy? But no kid will ever say, what does it mean to know your wife? They're not going to ask that. It's something they'll store away when they become a teenager. They go, ah, I know what happened. But it's not defiling. You see that? So when the Bible even describes men with men, he uses the term that we may know them.
But I think also when it applies to man, woman, like Adam and Eve, only Adam should know his wife.
Yes, agreed. Oh, it has, like I said, that's such a wonderful word. It has so many layers to it that are proper and discreet and full. Yeah. Okay, sex. The word sex has only the word fornication usually associated with it. It doesn't have clear understanding, and it doesn't give you, you don't feel edified.
But the word today, sex, has been defiled anyway.
Yes. So, I'm just using that word here. These men knew each other, and they wanted to know some new guys. Notice how many wanted to know two guys. It's a gang rape. It's a gang rape. It's unfathomable. What we're talking about, nobody wants to talk about. Nobody wants to get on the television and say, let me tell you what's going on in Sodom, and let me tell you what's going on down in Cork City, let me tell you what's going on up and down the streets of this country. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. I don't want to take all the time, because I could just, I mean, these things make you want to preach, guys. Romans chapter 1, 18 to 32, Nathan. Yes, sir, please.
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things.
Notice the de-evolution there. They start worshipping, instead of worshipping God, they start worshipping man, and then birds, and then creatures, four-footed beasts, and then you start worshipping creeping things. Verse 24.
Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves.
Wow, look how it's describing sodomy there. Alright? God gave themselves up to their own lusts, unclean living, filthy living, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. It is not honorable. Verse 25.
Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who was blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women they changed in natural use into that produced against nature.
Wow. So mainly it's men. But now the women are included here. Verse 27.
And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which is meet.
And you need right down next to the end of verse 27, AIDS, which is the recompense, the payback for homosexuality. And 28.
And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection,
implacable,
unmerciful.
Now notice verse 32. This is the key.
Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death.
Are worthy of what?
Death.
Go on.
Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them.
No wonder people sit and watch television and they can't wait for it to go under the covers, to go into the bedroom, because they have pleasure in it. The Bible says these kind of sins are worthy of
death.
Okay, so New Testament, capital punishment for people who have heinous sexual sins, murder. Look at the list of people who abuse others. They're worthy of death. Alright, somebody says, you don't like the Bible? Somebody tells you that they don't like the Bible? I know why they don't, because it's against us, isn't it?
So it's not a list that you have the death penalty for, really?
No, not all of them. Some of them, pride is kind of hard to kill for. Alright, but there's plenty of them. He's dealing with homosexuality. He starts there, but then he says, and the fruit of this creature worshipping attitude are all of these sins. And then he talks about they're worthy of death because they originally started with the sin of homosexuality. But he lists others there. He talks about fornication. But not all of those things are worthy of death. No. Okay. Only the sodomy is what he's talking about. He's just talking about the fruit of sodomy is all that stuff. The fruit of the attitude that says, I have free love, I can do what I want. Well, look what you're going to end up doing. That's his point.
And we can see that in the States, the freedom that they have.
Only in the States?
Well,
it used to be. You could actually point to the States and say, look at that country, how wicked they are. But it's here.
Yes, but they don't. It's not just as prevalent the way they behave and the things that they say in this part of the world yet.
Yeah, I agree.
It's their fight against everything and anything. Cry called Stonewall, you know, to bring down everything that's right.
Yeah.
But they still haven't got the vicious words to use, or allowed to use those vicious words that they can get away with in the States.
I don't know. I sure meet the other kind of crowd. Barry, read Jude verse 7.
Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of Oath in the like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example of suffering the vengeance of the eternal fire.
So what does fornication there mean, Mary?
Homosexuality?
Yes, sir. So fornication is a catch-all phrase for all sexual sins. And going after fornication, addicted to fornication, they receive the judgment of God. Now, I want you to see the words here. We talk about what was the status of women in culture outside of the Bible, okay, outside of biblical cultures and godly cultures. Men with men, always you learn these truths, and some of this stuff we're going to deal with when we're in the men's camp carefully. But men with men, one of them has to be male, and the other one effeminate. And what's acute is, where do women fit in this thing? Well, they're competition by the effeminate men. And so women are just, they're not wanted. Because these guys have taken the place of women. So women are so degraded, and they don't even realize how they have empowered. Women today have empowered homosexuality by fighting with masculine men. Because these masculine women have worked themselves out of a job so that effeminate guys come in and do the role of what a woman used to do. Where a woman was soft and effeminate and kind and was honoring and submissive. Boy, that's these guys who, I mean, they have lace everywhere. That's what a woman's supposed to look like. But because the women have become, in modern day, I'm kind of crossing my thoughts here, but because women have become so hard and so masculine, homosexuality has exploded. But back then, they were a threat to the effeminate men because they, because men with men. What were you going to say? Somebody had
just a thought come in there. The men with men was prevalent then, and the women kind of pushed aside. Is it possible, do you think, that's one of the reasons why women left the natural use?
Okay, or that's a queer question. I enjoyed that.
You never hear that one anymore.
All right, you're stating that the women's homosexuality, the women's lesbianism, is a byproduct of this, and I don't know.
No, I'm only. It's just a thought
that they were forced into it, and I would say that would be. Joe Romans used it as a judgment, and even if you're forced into prostitution, if you're forced into lesbianism, you're still wrong.
Well, it's not even so much forced. I think maybe because they're being ignored. But having said that, today when I see the girls today, it's not they're not really forced. It's a choice.
That's right.
And it's a cool thing to do. Yep. It's to be in.
All right. So the angels act here. Oh, okay. All right. Number three. So they treated women like rubbish. Treat him like rubbish. Lot offers his own daughter. Look at how Lot treated his own daughters. I couldn't tell you. How do you describe that? How do you say, here, take these girls, they remember of it, do with them as you want. Can you imagine? Now what's funny is these masculine fighting men don't want women. They want men. They are so far gone. I think it's just... This is the one chapter that we forget about in Christianity because it is so harsh.
But it's possible, though, because the men didn't want the women, that was maybe just a diversion. Or it's possible if he knew that they were angels, and that's why wrong.
I don't think he knows that they're angels yet. He only realizes they're angels when they grab him and they take them out and they say, we cannot judge this city. We cannot until you're out of it. Then he's running around trying to get his family together. He doesn't believe them until they say, we are going to judge the city. I don't know. I know that they get blind, and maybe that does open his eyes. But I don't think he knows. I don't know. Let's look at it. Just my opinion, and I may be wrong here. I've been known to be wrong twice, but that was quite a long time ago. So, number B, his own two daughters were virgin. They couldn't find real men, couldn't find husbands. And I just can't believe he would allow his own daughters to be gang raped. I cannot believe that. But that's just how... What would you be like if you didn't have church? If you didn't have the Bible?
Would I think about it?
I don't like to think about what would happen to my family if God wasn't in control of my life and holding me back from wicked sin.
Yeah.
Number E, the angels act, verses 10 to 13... who read 4 to 9? Was that you, Nathan?
I read the Romans.
I know you did, but then did you? Okay,
all
right.
I read 4 to 9.
Okay, Nathan, or I don't care. Nathan, read 10 to 13. I thought you read a lot there just recently. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
But the men put forth their hand and called Lot at the house to them and shut the door. They smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great. So that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place. This cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy.
That's when they know that. That's when he knows that they're angels. Okay. The fact that they were blinded, I don't know, but maybe all happened at one moment. Okay. So look at the angels. The angels protect Lot. I wouldn't want to protect Lot. If I saw a man turning his children over to a gang rape, I wouldn't want to protect that man.
Interesting that God sent only two angels to destroy all these cities.
Yeah. Yep. One angel could take care of 185,000 soldiers. So, all right. So, angels protect Lot. Number two, they blind the wicked. And aren't when you're in sin, aren't you blind to it? Aren't you even blind to God's judgment? The more you mess with sin, the harder it is to convince you that you're in trouble. They blind the wicked, and then they seek Lot's family. Aren't you glad that God wants not just you, but your family? God says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and your house, your family. Okay? So he made, these angels made Lot responsible for his family. He said, you go get them. And they forced him to think about their protection, about getting them in. And every husband, every man should be concerned about his family. Now look at Lot's failures. Verse 14, Barry.
And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law.
Wow. He had no respect in the eyes of his sons-in-law.
How many daughters?
Okay, we know at least four. Because we have two that are unmarried, and then here are other daughters who are married. These are other daughters. So we know at least four daughters. All right? Because of the plural.
He might have been maybe his two daughters, they were virgins when they were married. He might have been the oldest. He's not much anymore. Did he raise this? Might have been the same two, right?
Okay, so your idea is that Lot had daughters who were married to men, but they were still virgin.
he was telling the men of Sodom, oh, look, these are virgins, like, trying to tempt them to take them, you know what I mean?
Oh, I don't think that he made that up. I think he's quite honest.
But we take, it says he's a righteous, but also...
These are different daughters. These are different daughters. No, he's righteous only in position, not in practicality. He's a wicked man, but he's righteous in the fact that he started by faith like Abraham did. Okay, he didn't lose his salvation. I mean, if anybody could have lost his salvation, it should have been Lot, but he didn't lose it. He was righteous as far as God's standing, but as far as his horizontal life, he was a wicked man. So he would have lied, you know, at the drop of a hat, but he's got more than just two daughters. That's the point, Barry. It's not the same daughters, I don't believe.
Does that mean God likes some people even if they are wicked?
God loves all people, and he, once a person is born into God's family, God cannot abort them. Jesus said,
even when they are wicked.
Yes, because what is our degree of wickedness? I may think that I'm not very wicked because I'm comparing myself with someone else. I may say, the homosexuals, they're wicked. You know what God says? Pride is as wicked as the devil. So I don't have to commit the sin of adultery, the sin of homosexuality, to be just as wicked as that when I'm full of pride or when I'm full of anger, when I'm full of lust. I don't even have to commit adultery to still be an adulterer, correct? Because I look with my eyes. So does God love me when I'm struggling with lust? Yes. Does God chasten me?
Yes.
He chastens me. He corrects me. But he doesn't punish me. God punishes the wicked, the unsaved. But he chastens, he corrects the saved. God says he chastens every son whom he receives. So you understand what I'm saying? Jesus said, my sheep follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Thank you, Lord. I will never leave them nor forsake them. Thank you, Lord. Now, will I leave him? Yeah. I abandon him at the drop of a hat to go do my own thing, but he can't abandon me. So that's the relief for the Christian, realizing even Lot, as wicked as he became, he was still known as righteous Lot, not lost Lot. I would have looked at him and said, this man can't be saved. But we read, what does it say in 2 Peter? They vexed righteous Lot's soul. So Peter calls him righteous. I have to accept that. So Lot had some failures. He had no respect in his family. His other daughters stayed with their husbands. They'd never gotten saved. You know, it's kind of sad. When you have a family member who doesn't get saved, they are destined for destruction. They only laughed at their father and father-in-law. You know, Lot should have had a strong testimony. Did Abraham have a good testimony with his family?
Yes.
Lot didn't. Look at the contrast between Abraham's family. I know Abraham, that he will command his children to after him. But Lot, they'll laugh at him. Lot can't even ask them to switch the light off. Number G, his lingering, verses 15 to 20, Eric.
And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened to Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth, and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, they said, Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, O, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast shown unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me, and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. O, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one, and my soul shall live?
you gotta give him credit that he... Not when I say credit, meaning you gotta laugh at him, let me put it that way. But here's the guy, he's being saved, and he says, You wanna protect me there? I think I'll die there. I'd rather stay here. Something's wrong with his head. Something he can't think straight. Now look at these thoughts, all right? He's being pressed by the angels to get out of town fast, all right? And I want you to look back up there, verse 15. When the morning arose, then the angels had hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters. Why does he even take his wife and two daughters? Because they were with him. Why does God bless Ishmael?
Because
Ishmael was from Abraham. And anything Abraham touches is blessed and protected. And Lot, as long as his family were there with him, that's why when your kids step out and go on to their own home, they're on their own. They better be with God. Because while they're in your home, God has protection around them.
Lot was around Abraham.
He was protected, wasn't he? He was blessed. So here he is, out of the will of God. As soon as he leaves, remember what happens to him. As soon as he leaves Abraham and he goes towards Sodom, not even in Sodom,
captured.
He's captured. So the point is, you better walk with God when you grow up and you're ready to have your own home. You better be walking with God because the protection you had by your family, even unsaved families, have a bit of protection over them that just living by yourself doesn't have. So he lingers. Lot and his family hesitated, number two. You know, why would you hesitate? Why would you hesitate to leave a city that's about to be burned? Why would you hesitate to leave a home that's on fire? Because there's something in the home you want to bring with you. Because there's something in the home that you're more attached to than your very life. So he's hesitated. They did not refuse to obey. Here's your point. They did not refuse to obey. What did they do? They delayed to obey. Which is more wrong? It's a trick question. To say, I'm not going to do it, or to say, I'll do it when I'm ready. Which is more wrong?
Both
the same. Somebody who, the fact that you didn't obey, whether you want to obey or not, doesn't matter. You're just as wicked as somebody who says, I'm not going to obey. So they didn't refuse. Lot didn't refuse to obey. He just hesitated. He lingered. He delayed. He neglected to act. You couldn't write a Bible. I mean, the Bible is so New Testament-y. There's so much New Testament truth in the Old Testament. You couldn't make this up. It had to be written by God. Number three, the angels actually pull Lot and his family out of town. Can you imagine? I can just see, here's Lot and his wife and his two daughters, and these two angels, I don't know, one in each hand. They grab Lot, they grab one of Lot's daughters, and they start dragging them out of the city. What a thing. Hey, you know what that is a picture of? Come on, wake up, guys. What's it a picture of? The rapture. The Bible says Christ pulls us out of this world. We don't get out of here. The tribulation doesn't start until after they're gone, Nathan. You cannot find a Christian go through the tribulation. That is the time of Jacob's trouble. So they are pulled out, and that's God's mercy. When they were told to go to the mountain, Lot argues. How many times do we argue with God? He's full of fear. He's always thinking he knows better than God. He thought he knew better than Abraham. Well, Lot wanted to stay in that. But just say, let me stay in this little city. It's a little city. It's a small sin. They're not as sinful as the Sodomites. And, Lot had chosen the plains of Sodom as a rich and prosperous man, but now, guess what he's got? Nothing. Everything he thought he had has been taken away from him. Now look at God. Look at what the angels do in verse 21-22, Edward, though.
And he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning these things, this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, skip further, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither. Therefore, the name of the city was called
Zoar. Now, Zoar means little. Mm-hmm. So, you know what? Sometimes God will answer your prayer. You better be careful what you pray for. God, can I have her as a wife? Sure. Be careful what you pray for, because she may not be the wife you should have. Amen. Lord, can I have that job? Sure, go ahead. That's not the job I wanted you to have. Isn't it funny? Did he ask God before or after God told him his will?
Yeah, he told him to go to the mountain.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And then he prays. He says, "But can I just stay in this city?" Mm-hmm. Notice he knew what he should do, but he prayed something different. You know what God will let you do? He'll let you disobey. Outdoes Calvinism all the time. He gives him free will, and he gives in to it. God gives in to our prayers, even when they're wrong.
So
wow!
Can you change the mind of God?
You can change the mind of God.
Think of it.
Did God say 40 days and Nineveh shall be destroyed? Did God determine to destroy Nineveh? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Did the preaching of Jonah change the mind of God?
Yes. I agree. I believe it can change the mind of God, but we had a discussion with him. You said we actually followed the God's will. You can't change the mind of God.
I played with all the different scenarios, and I say, in the big scheme of things, God knew that if a man went and preached to the Ninevites, that's why he gave him 40 days. He knew it would take 40 days. He knew that that Jonah would go away. So I play the scenario of God didn't want to judge, but if Jonah didn't go and preach, he still would have had to have judged Nineveh, and he would have judged him. But he wanted to change his mind, and he knew he would. And so I played it out, and I says, it's the most complicated thing, trying to understand the sovereignty of God. I'm not going to say that I understand it. I just disagree with the idea that God is so sovereign that I have no free will. And I disagree with that, because I find nothing but free will throughout this thing, where God will even say, if that's what you want, that's not what I want. I told you what I want. And that's what you want? Okay. It was not God's will to not destroy Zoar. But God said, all right. It was not God's will for Abraham to have Hagar. But God said, all right, I'm going to use it. I'm going to show you the new covenant, the old covenant through it. So God uses our free will.
I've always seen that in the Bible, that prayer can't change the mind of God. Just Calvinism teaches that you can't change the mind of God. It's that we conform to God's will when we're praying.
Why pray if you can't change things?
We also pray, though, that it be in your will, Lord, you know.
We do, because that's the safest way to pray. But there are some times where you pray, avenge me of my adversary! And the Lord says, you know, shall not God act on our prayer? God will change and do what we ask if we pray like the widow woman who says, avenge me continually, avenge me of my adversary. So God says, pray without ceasing. Why would you pray without ceasing? It's not worship, it's begging. God says, I'll answer. I'll change my mind even. And that's a hard concept to understand. If he's so smart, why would he change his mind? Because that's also grace. And I'm glad for the wisdom of God, but I'm also glad for the grace of God. All right, so much we want to... In the Bible, full of every kind of truth that could be just enjoyed. So they pull Lot out, try to go to the mountain, but Lot is afraid. God actually accepts the request of Lot. And that's the power of prayer. That's the power of prayer. Let me be real clear, though. Didn't Lot waste a prayer? It's kind of like standing in front of a genie saying, I'll give you one wish. And the kid says, I want a free burger. What a wasted wish. I want 1,000 more wishes. I mean, think about, before you pray, think about what you're going to ask, because you're asking for what can be, even though it may be impossible.
Well, that was not a foolish wish of yours. You want 1,000 wishes, though. You should have asked for, I want unending wishes.
We know what you'd ask for. All right, number 23 to 25. Is that you, Alberto? Did you already read? Okay, it's Ngozi. Ngozi, 23-25.
And he overthrew those cities.
Wait, no. Are you in verse 23? Verse 23.
23. The sun was
risen.
The sun was risen upon the head when Lot entered into
Zoar.
Zoar. Then the Lord
rained
upon Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitations of the city and that which grown upon the ground.
Nope, that's it. Just a thunderstorm 25. Yeah. All right, at sunrise, which we put about 6 a.m., brimstone. Notice it says he rained. Was there another time where it rained fire?
In Egypt.
Now I have a book called The Interpreters, one volume commentary on the Bible. And when they come to this, they say, it was just happenstance that a meteor exploded over Sodom and Gomorrah and these cities. And that was where the fire and brimstone came. I don't care how it happened. Timing is everything. The fact is, at sunrise, the sky filled with falling brimstone. That's a rock full of sulfur that is on fire, and it burned everything it hit. Yes, sir.
Brimstone came from third heaven?
No, when it talks about the heaven, I think it's talking about from outer space. He means from the sky, wherever it came from. I know it came. I mean, God could have had it come from heaven if you wanted it, but he didn't have to. Manna fell out of the sky. Okay, where did it come from? I don't know if Paul calls it angel's food. Maybe it came from the third heaven. I don't know. Okay, but that's a far distance for it to travel when it could be a comet. I don't care what it was. But they're making it saying it wasn't a miracle. It was just a comet passing by that exploded and all this stuff fell on. What are you going to say, Barry? I know, comets were evolutionary.
If it came from the dark, it was like a billion years ago.
Maybe. Maybe. I don't care how it got there or whatever. Whatever it was, I just know it happened and it was devastating. Brimstone is an inflammable. Isn't that a funny word? Inflammable should mean non-flammable, by the way. And yet it means a very flammable mineral substance found in quantities on the shores of the Dead Sea, curiously.
What should the word be?
No, the word inflammable is one of those ruined Latin words. When you have the word in the beginning, it usually means, like if I said, oh, Eric, he's hospitable. That means you're nice, you're welcoming. But if I said you're inhospitable, what does that mean?
You're not.
But if something's flammable...
It goes up with flames.
Yes. But if something's inflammable, it should mean...
It goes up with flames. It doesn't...
So it's actually a ruined Latin prefix.
It doesn't go up with flames?
No, it means it does. It means it's very flammable. That's what it means. In means the opposite of what it should mean. So the cities of the plain around the Dead Sea were destroyed by a rain of fire and brimstone. An allusion is made in Isaiah 34:9 to the destruction of these cities, and it denotes the destruction or punishment back in Job, Isaiah, Psalms, Ezekiel, and it gives you the idea of excruciating torment because the brimstone burns your skin. Now it's fire from heaven. It's not rain. It's fire, and it overthrows the cities. There's earthquakes. There's explosions. You know, there was a comet or a portion of an asteroid that exploded over northern Russia there last year. Do you remember that thing? That thing. 1,500 people went to the hospital. This thing was only 10 feet wide. All right, and yet when it exploded. 25 miles up, however high it was when it exploded. When it exploded, it broke windows, and 400 people were were sent to the hospital right away. 15 people total were hurt. That's just one little piece of rock. This is serious stuff. I think every once in a while God brings that to remind us that there's a bigger one coming. There's a bigger one. It's called wormwood, by the way, a comet in the Bible. So it creates a hell on earth, and there was no more life there at all. To this day, nothing lives there in the valley of the Dead Sea. Were there any growth around the Dead Sea? Did you go to the Dead Sea?
Yeah, but there were plantations. There was date palms on the way to the Qumran caves. Mm. But it was very like when we were up on top of Masada, you just look out, it's just
desert.
The color of rock, you know, like a sandy type rock, whatever. Right in Detroit.
No trace of Sodom or the other cities of the plain have ever been discovered. It was so complete was their destruction. Just opposite the site of Zoar, however, on the southwest coast of the Dead Sea, is a range of low hills forming a mass of mineral salt called Jebel Usdom, or the Hill of Sodom. It has been concluded from this and other considerations that the cities of the plain stood at the southern end of the Dead Sea. That's so. Now, I don't have time to look at these things. Number six, God abhors. A-B-H-O-R-S. He abhors Sodom and homosexuality. I believe it's sinful for you to have sex outside of marriage. And that is an abhorrent thing. But even that is better if you want to compare it to the sin of homosexuality. And yet, what are we being forced down our throats every time? Number J, Lot's losses. From here on is only downhill. What does Lot lose? He loses his wife. John, you want to read verse 26 all the way down to 37.
When his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abram got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, and toward all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham, and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. And Lot went up out of Zoar, and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar, for he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. Mm. And the firstborn said unto the younger, Our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in, and lay with her father. And he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow, that the firstborn said unto the younger, Behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in, and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also. And the younger arose, and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab. The same is the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she also bare a son and called his name Ben-Ammi. And the same is the father of the children of Ammon unto this day.
Unbelievable.
So when he was said, here, take my two daughters, the virgin, he must have known they had perverted minds and perverted tongues.
They've grown up in Sodom.
They've grown up with perversion, and his daughters... you get the impression like they're teenagers nearly, and you know, say here, and they were just rampant, perverted young women, yeah. You know, filthy minds and minds. So it didn't matter to him what happened to them.
And it didn't matter to him that they were getting him drunk. Even when you're drunk, you know a little bit what's going on. You may not remember afterwards, but you are a little aware during the time. Mm. I don't even like thinking about this stuff, but let me just go real quick. Lot loses first his wife. And you can lose your wife if she's addicted to this world. She doesn't want to leave this world. You know, I'm looking forward to the rapture. I'm not looking for the tribulation. I'm looking forward to leaving. She didn't want to leave. She was attached to the world, anchored to it. All her dreams were there. And all of a Christian's dreams are in heaven. There's your favorite scriptures there. Eric, Colossians 3. Mm-hmm. He not only loses his wife, he loses his daughters. The ones he really didn't care about. He lost the family back in Sodom, but now he's losing these kids too. Now they tag along because they have no husbands. I think that if the angels hadn't taken them, they would have stayed in Sodom and been destroyed, even though they were single. Sometimes our trials are really God protecting us, and God did protect his daughters, they just didn't appreciate it. What's funny is, now I've always not really thought about it, but I now agree with it. I think that, reading it here this last time, I see that maybe, they really believed that the whole world had been destroyed. I just never thought that. But growing up in Sodom, at least the past few years, I wonder if they thought the whole world was like Sodom. You know, a child may grow up and they just think the whole world is like what my growing up,
right.
My environment. They just imagine everywhere else is just like it is here. And that's a shame, because a lot of Irish left Ireland and went to America and then found out, man, it's not like home. But we imagine it is. And so maybe they've imagined the whole world has been destroyed. Okay?
Even though the Zohar, they knew that Zohar wasn't destroyed because they came through there, right?
Zohar may have been, again, Zohar may have only had 50 homes. And I guarantee you, as soon as Sodom and Gomorrah and the other two cities were destroyed, every inhabitant of Zohar left. They didn't stay. I guarantee you, that little town was a ghost town within 3 hours after the fire followed.
If it hadn't been for Lot, Zohar would have went up with the rest of them. So in a sense, they had a bit of grace to get out.
Had grace, but then they went off and they still stayed homosexuality in other cities. Mm.
So, what is the other two cities? What is the name?
Adama. That's back in chapter 13. Isn't that where it lists them? Where they're in the fight? The five kings. Verse 2. 14:2. That these made war with Bera, king of Sodom, and with Birsha, king of, here's your second city, Gomorrah. Shibna, king of Adma, that's the third city. Shebner, king of Zeboam, that's the fourth city. And the king of Bela, which is Zoar. So there's your five cities. Okay. Alright. And then lastly, number three, he loses his future. You know, Lot never is heard of again. You know, we follow Abraham until he's 100. How old is he? 175? When he dies, we follow Abraham all the way to the end. Lot, life ends. He's lost his future. Has no more potential. Has no more purpose.
The kids that were born, Moab and Ben Ali, would they have been the farm or the...
Don't know. You're about the time, you've got another 400 years until Moses makes it against the law to marry your sisters. But I don't know if I ever see, except here, incest. So I think this is a crossing, this is a possibly a desperate act of these girls to get pregnant. But this is incest here. And incest, I think, I mean, the Bible says just how abominable homosexuality is. It's just as abominable for a man to have his father's wife as his mother-in-law. And it makes it abominable. So I think psychologically it was an abominable thing the whole time, even before the law. And you don't find it.
The kids
So were the kids deformed? I don't know. I know that they're not. They're rarely deformed, but it's more likely to be deformed when you have incestuous relationships.
I thought there.
It's not guaranteed. No, it's not guaranteed. Unfortunately, I actually know of families where the husband, I find out, is married to his own daughter, and he has children by his own daughter.
Well, you know people like that?
I do.
Over in
it's not
the Blue Ridge Mountains.
I'm not going to tell you where they are. In the Blue Ridge Mountains. You know, Blue Ridge Mountain, I don't know.
I'm just going.
You're just being funny. All right, we got to quit. Look at eight. See how hard it was to get this believer to leave this world. This is not an unbeliever. This is a believer. Notice how strong a hold the world has on Christians. And then notice that if it weren't for Abraham praying and interceding, what would have happened maybe to Lot? Gone, or Lot would have been doomed. So you got some questions there. Work on your chapter by chapter questions and answers, please. And we will take a break.
nice legacy to leave.
Oh my goodness.